several conditions, including an assurance the property could be subdivided. However, the Hudson Planning Board will not vote on the proposed subdivision until October 18th. At a special meeting held October 8th, the HDC board voted unanimously to take the risk and hope for the planning board's approval of the subdivision instead of pulling out of the sale. The cost of the CSX property is $175,000 and will be financed by a $200,000 loan from the Columbia Economic Development Corporation. The details of the sale are expected to be discussed Monday, October 14th. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Republican Representative Elise Stefanik said October 10th that she is not in favor of impeachment. Quote, "It is illegal to ask any foreign nation for help electorally," unquote, she said. Quote, "I don't think that's what the president did in this case," unquote. On a telephone call in July, President Donald Trump released a summary of the discussion where, after the Ukraine president asked to buy weapons to fight the Russians, he says, quote, "I would like you to do us a favor, though," unquote, and then asked for an investigation of a political rival. Then, a few days after Trump revealed that conversation, he then publicly asked China to investigate his political rival. Quote, "I think when it comes to the China statement, that was certainly not an appropriate statement to make, but I don't think that was actually asking a foreign nation to support his campaign. It was not that," unquote, Stefanik said. But a Trump advisor, Michael Pillsbury, told the Financial Times that he got, quote, "quite a bit of background on Hunter Biden from the Chinese," unquote, after Trump made that public statement. Pillsbury changed his story after the first report was published. The three other Hudson Valley representatives, Democrats Paul Tonko, Antonio Delgado, and Sean Maloney, all have backed the impeachment inquiry. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Ben Axelson is reporting for NewYorkUp.com. The Hunter's Moon will cast a breathtaking orange glow in the sky this weekend, just as the seasonal color reaches its peak in the Hudson Valley. The Hunter's Moon is the name given to the full moon in October and the first full moon closest to the autumn equinox in the northern hemisphere. The full Hunter's Moon appears huge and bright while it hangs low in the sky close to the horizon. This year, the moon will reach peak fullness at 5:07 p.m. on Sunday, October 13th, but it will not rise above the horizon until after 6:30 p.m. The Anglo-Saxons named the Hunter's Moon in reference to the time of year for the hunt and slaughter and preservation of meats for the winter's months. Read the full story at NewYorkUp.com.
New York State Foliage Report puts most of the upper Hudson Valley in peak colors. Quote, "Rensselaer County observers project 60-70% transition in the eastern and northern parts of the county and 55-65% color change in the western and southern portions. Look for bright reds, including purple-red and orange-red leaves, in addition to the orange-yellow and the remaining green leaves. In the Albany County city of Cohoes, foliage change will be about 50% this week, and with muted orange and rust-colored leaves, along with some red and yellow. This weekend, the mountains of Greene County will again feature a mix of near-peak and peak foliage, with about 95% color change above 2,000 feet. Look for bright touches of red, orange, and yellow. Observers reporting from the town of Catskill project that the county's valley areas will be near peak at about 85% change, and the town will experience near peak conditions with 80% change in bright red, yellow, and orange leaves. At Bel Air Mountain in the Ulster County community of Highmount, foliage will be near peak by the weekend with 85% change in bright orange, red, and yellow leaves. In Kingston, spiders project 25% color change for the weekend, with increasing amounts of yellow, orange, red, and burgundy leaves of average brilliance. Foliage will be just past peak this weekend in Delaware County, with complete color transition featuring bright gold and orange leaves," unquote.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts a sunny Sunday with a high near 63 and a low around 42. Monday should also be mostly sunny with a high near 64 and a low around 39, and the sun continues to shine bright on Tuesday with a high near 58 and a low around 42. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Sunday, October 13th, Yoga of the Earth is a monthly gentle morning yoga practice with teacher Stephanie Fisher and is backdropped by Olana's expansive Hudson River views at the Olana State Historic Site at 9 a.m. The Ghent Playhouse presents The Cemetery Club, a story of three Jewish widows who meet monthly for tea before visiting their husbands' graves. Their lives are suddenly turned upside down when they meet Sam, the local butcher and recent widower, at 2 p.m. on Town Hall Road off Route 66 in Ghent. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting WGXC.org/calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Carol Friedman of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
As far back as I could remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. My clothes may still be torn and tattered.
To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States.
Goodbye, Columbus. Hello, Indigenous Peoples Day. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Indigenous Peoples Day is increasingly being celebrated across the United States in place of Christopher Columbus Day, as the myth of Columbus as beneficent discoverer is debunked, and as the critical role of Indigenous people in protecting the planet becomes more recognized. Indigenous defenders of Mother Earth are often at the front lines of environmental destruction, confronting militarized state and corporate power against enormous odds with courage and determination. Columbus arrived in the Bahamas 527 years ago, unleashing a brutal genocide that killed tens of millions of native people across the hemisphere. Now, as the sixth great extinction accelerates and the planet catastrophically heats up, it may well be Indigenous peoples who save us all. Official recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day has occurred in at least 8 states: Alaska, Maine, Minnesota, New Mexico, North Carolina, South Dakota, Vermont, and Wisconsin. Over 130 cities and counties have adopted the holiday as well, from big cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Dallas, to smaller places like Livingston, Kentucky, and Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, the name of which derives from Columbus, just passed a resolution recognizing Indigenous Peoples Day. D.C. Councilmember-at-Large David Grosso said in a statement before the vote, "Columbus Day was officially designated as a federal holiday in 1937, despite the fact that Columbus did not discover North America, despite the fact that millions of people were already living in North America upon his arrival in the Americas, and despite the fact that Columbus never set foot on the shores of the current United States," Grosso said. He went on, "Columbus enslaved, colonized, mutilated, and massacred thousands of indigenous people in the Americas," unquote. The movement to replace Columbus Day gained momentum in 1992, the 500th anniversary of Columbus's arrival, with Berkeley, California becoming the first city to make the change. Earlier protests inspired the movement, including the annual National Day of Mourning in Plymouth, Massachusetts, held on Thanksgiving to challenge the myth of peaceful coexistence between Native people and the English settlers, the Pilgrims. UnThanksgiving is an annual event in San Francisco where hundreds travel by boat to Alcatraz Island, once the site of a notorious prison, for a sunrise ceremony. Native American activists occupied the island 50 years ago to protest the plight of indigenous peoples in the United States. Across the Americas, indigenous communities are standing up against unrestrained exploitation of their land, extractive industries, violence, and racism. In Ecuador, indigenous-led protests against International Monetary Fund-imposed austerity measures, as well as against ongoing oil extraction and mining, have forced President Lenin Moreno to relocate his government from Quito to the city of Guayaquil. Ecuadorian law professor David Cordero Heredia described the role of indigenous activism on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
Indigenous people are offering us an alternative, a sustainable alternative of living. They want to protect their jungles. They want to protect their territories. And that is the message that they have to the world.
Indigenous tribes in the Amazon in Brazil are confronting racist government policies as well as the life-threatening forest fires largely set on purpose with the blessings of President Jair Bolsonaro. The indigenous rights group Survival International said the president, quote, wants to open up indigenous territories across Brazil to loggers, miners, and ranchers. He doesn't care how many indigenous people die in the process and has openly expressed his racist contempt for them on many occasions, Survival International said. As she makes her way across North America, 16-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg spent this week visiting indigenous youth activists in the Dakotas, on the Pine Ridge Reservation and on the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, where hundreds of tribes gathered in 2016-2017 to oppose the Dakota Access Pipeline. In his first days of office, President Donald Trump greenlighted both the Dakota Access Pipeline and the Keystone XL Pipeline. In a video produced by the Lakota People's Law Project urging Congress to stop the Keystone XL, Takata Iron Eyes, also 16 years old, standing next to Greta, said,
"Indigenous peoples have been on the front lines of the climate crisis, and we know how to live in balance with the earth. And so when we're talking about solutions, we have to include indigenous peoples in the conversation. So let's protect our indigenous peoples, their rights, their communities, their way of life, because that's what we're going to need when we go into this battle."
Columbus was a native of Genoa, Italy. But the movement to rename Columbus Day is not a slight against the Italian-American community. It's a denunciation of genocide and a celebration of indigenous peoples and their central role in our history and in our future. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trunks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to Stars and Stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeples. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio WGXC.
Got Skeeter Davis in the background. I'm here with Amy Rigby, our own Hudson Valley's own recording artist, who's come out with a new book, Girl to City, a memoir, exciting coming of age, moving to New York City from Pittsburgh, seeing the Ramones and all these exciting bands at CBGB's in the 70s. And starting a country band and doing all kinds of exciting things, struggling as a musician, as you do.
Yeah.
And finding ways to pay the rent. And anyway, I just barreled through it in the last few days, and it's a real treat to get through. And welcome Amy Rigby to the radio.
I'm so glad you liked the book.
I loved the book, and it's so nice to see it through your eyes and also to learn more about you. I've seen you around for years, and I'm like, wow, see all these things? And of course you want more, and we all do, but so Amy's going to be reading from her book tomorrow at the Spotty Dog. In the meantime, I'm lucky to get her in the studio.
I'll be reading and playing some songs.
And playing some songs, hopefully tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so I brought in a bunch of records that I had in my record collection. We have a very similar taste. It was so cool. Amy brings up a lot of inspirations and artists you ran into in New York in the book and around the world on your tours.
And did you find, like I did, got into this country music after, can you hear me? Yeah. You know, I was into more, you know, rock and punk, and it wasn't until the 80s that I really discovered these old country records. And is that the same, was your trajectory similar?
Well, I came up here from Alabama, so I knew a lot of the country records, but I didn't, I actually got put them on hold when I, like, you left Pittsburgh and you wanted to get out of there. I kind of wanted to get out of there. So when I first came to New York, I had the country stuff with me, and you know, I was really into the new music and the scene of the time, but I definitely, over the last 15 years, have been like digging into the really early country 78s, and you know, learning more and
that's
more,
right,
like the Delmore Brothers.
You're hardcore.
And Bill Cox and you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Davis Sisters, and
the Davis Sisters are just such a treat.
Yeah.
And Skeeter wrote a great book, Bus Ride. It's either Bus Ride to Kentucky. It's got to be from Kentucky, because that's where she was from.
Right.
She was from Covington, Kentucky, which is just over the river from Cincinnati. It's like Sin City.
I didn't realize it was so close to Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah. It's, it's where, you know, the Ohio people would go to get alcohol, and still do. Like, there's this club, the Southgate House in I think it's called Newport, Kentucky, and it's literally, it's like 3 minutes from Cincinnati, but it's all like different liquor laws and you know, so
right.
It was like the red light district to Cincinnati, and supposedly all the gangsters would come there back in, you know, the John Dillinger days. And anyway, I don't know how I got off on this tangent, but Skeeter, that's, you know,
Skeeter,
that's where she's from there, and proud Kentucky lady.
Yes, like I was just telling you, I learned about Skeeter Davis from my first Alex Chilton show in 84, and he was doing one of her songs, Let Me Get Close to You, And so I learned a lot from seeing his shoes. He always turned me on to a lot of obscure old records from other genres.
Oh, yeah. Alex Chilton was so great at pulling out those old songs that you just like
hadn't
heard them, or you might have heard them once or something. And
exactly.
So
we've got all kinds of this new collection of your
Can I turn my headphones up a little? I'm just having a hard time hearing myself. How about that?
Maybe
it's just this mic.
It might be your headphones or the mics. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just
One way ticket to my life. I was just going to play a track from here to let people get a taste of these recordings that you've just come out with from 87 through 93 or something, you said?
87 through 97.
Right.
They're just things I really have not heard in years, and was just kind of looking through them to kind of go with the book. I talk in the book about writing all these songs and trying to, you know, I was like had bands and was trying to make my own solo record, and also trying to send songs down to Nashville in the hopes. And I don't know if anyone's, you know, been watching the Ken Burns country music documentary.
Not yet,
but I haven't watched the final episode, which is kind of like that new traditionalist moment in country where it kind of got back to like the old way of just like classic songwriting and classic singers. And that was the, once I'd found these old records, I got really hooked into, you know, those new people like Randy Travis and the Judds. I loved the Judds, and they just had, you know, they just had like such a cool, it was old fashioned, but well, I guess it probably has like 80s drums on it. I don't know. I haven't heard that stuff in a while. But it was really just like the harmonies were great. The songs were really great. Patti Loveless she did some Harlan Howard songs. And anyway, that really inspired me to want to send songs down to Nashville and try to like get some country artist to cover something. So,
well, one day, if they haven't yet, you're a great songwriter. And I see the draw in you, how you get, it's easy to get pulled into those country songs. They know how to write a song.
Yeah, they just, they really do just pull you in, and I love that. And that's what I aspired to.
Yeah, we love how you pull us in to your songs. I'm going to play a song from Baby Doll, from your new collection, A One-Way Ticket to My Life by Amy Rigby.
We'll, I don't think this song has ever been heard anywhere before.
This song has never been heard before.
No.
So, lucky you listeners. We'll be back.
Doll, baby doll. He always calls me baby doll. Thinks I'll come running when I hear him say, doll, baby doll. I may be sweet, I may be small, but I'm no doll and I won't be treated this way. He picks me up, he puts me down. He thinks that he's the only game in town. Runs around with other toys. Someone should tell him that boys don't play with dolls, baby dolls. Sit on the shelf till someone calls. One of these days I'm gonna walk away, that's all. And when he calls, he thinks I'll crawl back like a baby. But I'm no doll and I won't be treated this way. He uses me, then loses. his interest. There's always something else in his old toy chest. He could grow up, but that's too easy. He'd realize that he still needs me. He still needs his doll, baby doll. He always calls me baby doll. Thinks I'll come running when I hear him say, doll, baby doll. But I'm no doll and I won't be treated this way. I'm no doll and I won't be treated this way. I'm no doll and I won't be treated this way. Thomas Walker is a self-made man. He makes his living with his own two hands. He's a contractor in a government asbestos plant. We saved a lot of money, don't know where it went. He started working for the government when he answered an ad that said he didn't need experience. His hair was thinning, now it's falling out. I'm getting scared to kiss him on the mouth. When I tell him to quit, he says it's nothing to worry about. He's making big plans, laying asbestos with his bare hands. And he says it isn't dangerous, but I don't believe it. Children out of school today. I left a note that said we'd gone away, and that was all she wrote, 'cause there was nothing left to say. If he really wants to, he can follow us, just so he leaves behind the asbestos. He can find a new job, he can steal